Hello and welcome to episode 5 of The Ordinary Knitter. This is coming to you from my shiny new computer. I was talking at length last week about the baby sleep pods, and I was looking at how I could solve the problem of the loose loops of yarn that I had after foolishly carrying the unused colours in the stripe pattern up the inside of the sleep pod. And I was having a chat with my mum about this one day last week, and she said, "Oh, would you like me to do it?" And I couldn't pass up an offer like that. So I said, "Yes, please." And I'm seeing her tomorrow, so we'll see how that turned out. Now, because I'd had this problem, I decided that I was going to make the next pod flat. Right, okay, so that was the theory. The pods also come with a hat. So I decided to finish the pod and hat in the existing colourway that I'd started with the pink in it for this little girl, and I thought, doing the hat flat, this is the perfect dry run for knitting the next pod flat, because all the same considerations apply. So I did this. I made the hat flat as I'd planned. At the end of each set of stripe, I cut my 6-inch tail ready to weave in at the end. I did that, I wove it all in, went to seam it, and of course suddenly realised that I had to match the stripes. Now obviously, if you've made a striped item and you're seaming it, your stripes are pretty broadly going to match up, but these had to exactly match up. And exactitude is not one of my strengths when it comes to things like this. I had a really good go at it, I really did my best, and the stripes match up pretty well. If you want to pick, yes, you can find one or two places where it's a little bit out, but it's not too bad. But needless to say, I mean, this hat's, well, a third or a quarter of the length of the pods, and after I had to really work at it to get these stripes to match up, I swiftly changed my mind about making the next pod flat and seaming it. I just couldn't face matching up all those stripes exactly, because I don't want to give myself such a difficult task to do that I can't do it well enough for it to look nice enough to give as a present, because that is, after all, its intended use. So the next pod, I will make it in the round, but I will also not carry my unused stripe yarns up the inside. I think it's taken me, a pod and a hat to learn that, but I think, as I said early on in the episodes of this podcast when I was talking about knitting disasters, we learn. I love these pods and their little hats, they're so cute. I'm sure more babies will appear, not for me, I hasten to add, but for people I know over the next few years, and I think these baby pods are going to be one of my favourite things to make. And the nice thing is, as with so much in knitting, you can adjust the stripe colours to suit the people that you know that their preference is, but also it's such an incredibly simple design that it would really lend itself to intarsia, or if you're absolutely sure that the baby's going to be called a certain thing. And I am faintly nervous about that, because I know one or two people who've been absolutely sure that their little darling's going to be called, you know, Araminta, and then she turns up and she's more of a Brittany. So I'm quite nervous about putting an initial or a name onto any of these things before the baby arrives, just in case. So the other thing that I have to think about when I'm making a striped item is avoiding the colour jog. And this was something else that I didn't think about until I had made the first stripe in the hat. For some reason, when I was knitting the pod, it didn't really particularly jump out at me. And I think I just thought, oh, well, that's what happens when you do stripes. But then I remembered that I had seen a video about how to avoid the colour jog. There is a lot of information out there on the internet about absolutely any aspect of knitting that you care to mention, but I had, I think somewhere previously, I'd specifically come across this video, and I went searching, and I should have known, because this is one of the places that I can rely on having information I'm looking for. I went to the YouTube channel of Stacey Perry, who is on YouTube as Knitting Help. Her website is Very Pink Knits, Stacey, S-T-A-C-I. She's an American lady who just does the most wonderfully clear and helpful and relatively brief videos. Some videos you have to sit through 5 minutes of preamble before the person actually gets on to the bit that, you know, you really want to understand about. And, you know, it can be interesting and sometimes it's quite amusing, but ultimately I'm not watching the video just for idle amusement. I'm watching it because I need to learn how to do a certain technique, and Stacey is admirably brief with the preamble. Probably I could learn a thing or two from that. So on the show notes, I'll include links to all of these things. But for now, if you go to YouTube and enter knitting help dash correcting colour change jog, and as she's American, that's C-O-L-O-R. It's very simple. Basically, you knit your first round of the new colour without doing anything different. And when you come back to the first stitch of your first new colour, you pick up the right hand leg of the stitch beneath it and stitch that along with the normal stitch that you would expect to put your needle into, and that's very effective at avoiding the colour jog. Anyway, if you watch the video, that will make far more sense. The other lovely thing about Stacey's videos, and I will be mentioning another one further on, it might sound silly, but Stacey has really beautiful hands, and she always has really admirably lovely nails, and they're always painted a lovely colour, so they're really quite a pleasure to watch. So there I was, I had finished the pod and matching hat, and I instantly wanted to get on with the next one in a new colourway, but I didn't have the green that I needed. I mentioned last week that I had decided on a cream blue green stripe pattern, but I was quite fussy about the green. I'm quite fussy about things like that anyway, and I had chosen this lovely sage colour in the King Cole Recycled Cotton Aran, but I didn't have any, so I placed an order on this occasion with Purple Linda Crafts. That's purplelindacrafts.co.uk. But I wasn't quite in time. I didn't place the order in time for it to arrive exactly as I needed it. And I don't know if you've experienced this. I was knitting along, finishing the little hat, just getting mildly anxious about whether my yarn order was going to arrive in time for starting the next item. Well, because I hadn't placed the order quite in time, it didn't. Nonetheless, that didn't stop me starting the next project, because the order of events was 6 rows of cream, 3 rows of blue and 3 rows of green. I got my 6 rows of cream and my 3 rows of blue done at my son's swimming lesson last week. But then that was me. I'd got as far as I could. As I said, I'm knitting this in the round, and I'm doing what I really should have done in the first place, and I'm just cutting my 6-inch tail at the end of each stripe. I feel that the cable I'm knitting on is maybe a fraction short, and I know my stitch count is correct, so I don't really know why this one feels different from the last one, which is on the same needles, but it may just be that I've really got no choice but to order a new cable, slightly shorter one. So I got as far as I could with that. I'm sitting looking at it just now. In the meantime, I started the next project which I had wanted to do, and it's the Rolled Edge Raglan Baby Sweater by Joan Newmiller. If you print off the pattern, this is a free Ravelry download, the print version gives her name as Joan Newmiller, but if you look at the pattern on Ravelry, she shows up as Joan Marie. Now, I have no idea what that's all about, but it's the same pattern. This is, as the name suggests, a simple raglan sleeve jumper for a baby. I knitted it in the 3-month size because I wanted to give my friend something that wasn't for right now, something that she could use on the other, the baby's due some point in June. I saw my friend the other day and she's looking extremely pregnant. I think she's still got about 4 to 6 weeks to go. So come September time, this jumper will be about the right size for about the right weather. But because it's such a simple shape, I wanted to put a pattern onto it, and I wanted to basically completely copy unoriginally something I had seen, a really cute little pattern where the lower sort of third-ish of the jumper is a green background with intarsia sheep on it, and then the body of the jumper is blue for the sky. And I looked around and I found a chart on the internet. I modified it a little bit because I wanted to do the front of the sheep on the front, and on the back I wanted to do the back ends of the sheep. So I modified it a bit so that I had front and back. This means that I then had to structure the jumper differently from the instructions in the pattern. Although, to be fair, she does say in the pattern notes there's endless scope for modification, but don't forget that if you knit an Intarsia pattern, you will have to knit the two pieces separately and seam. So I went for a sort of halfway house. Because the Intarsia was only in the bottom part of the jumper, and although it's not finished, there is a photograph on Ravelry of it as far as it is at the moment. I've finished knitting the body of it, but I've got a lot of the weaving in to do. I still have to seam the underarms, and I still have to seam the green parts, which, as I say, initially I knitted separately. So really what I did was I did the first green and sheep section, the front. Then I did the second, the back. And then I put it all onto one circular needle and began to knit in the round. So the upper part of the jumper is all in one. It just leaves me the lower parts to seam. I made that with the bulk of the jumper was in cornflower King Cole recycled cotton aran, which I had already, and some evergreen, which is, as it suggests, it's much more of a deeper sort of pine needle green. But it was great as a grassy background for the sheep. I used my ubiquitous Aldi cream aran for the sheep, and I used a very small amount of the black aran that I mentioned before that was from Tiger. I think that was also originally bought for making the punk rock backpack for my daughter. That was used for the sheep's legs and horns. So the yarns that I bought for making that punk rock backpack have just been phenomenally useful. I mean, with the black, for instance, from Tiger, the black aran, I'm using only a really very small amount of it in any of the projects that I've used it for. But I sound silly, but I would never have imagined a black aran could be so useful. I'm not one for wearing a great deal of black on the whole. I'm not knitting black jumpers or anything like that, so I've been surprised at just how often just that little bit of black has been really, really useful. I needed more cornflower blue because the bit that I had that I'd used for the pod was never going to be enough, and so I did order some more, and I'm now looking at it and wondering if what I've got left is actually going to be enough to make the new sleep pod. But I ordered some more cornflower and my sage. I also ordered two skeins of sock regia sock yarn from, I mentioned before, Purple Linda Crafts. I look around quite widely when I'm looking for buying yarn online. I am looking for a good price, but that's not the be-all and end-all. When I'm buying things online and I'm paying for postage, I like to make that postage worth it. Now, if my order only comes to £15, I'm not going to find another 15 quid's worth of stuff to buy just for the hell of it to give me free postage. I'd rather spend £2.90 on the postage. But I knew I wanted to get some more sock yarn. I hadn't necessarily intended to do it last week, but I knew I wanted some because my husband will need more socks sooner or later. Plus, obviously, I needed more of this aran. So I just decided to make the postage worth it. I'd get everything all in one go. And Purple Linda Crafts just had the really good mix. Not everywhere sells the full range of the King Cole Aran colours, but she had the full range of colours. She had the regia sock yarn at a price I was happy to pay, and in colours that my husband would like. Many of the sock yarns, including the regia, are in this really jazzy sort of speckle pattern and stripes and things like that. And I do like self-striping sock yarn, but I didn't particularly like the ones that were available at the moment, so I liked the ones that she had. Regia is a tried and tested sock yarn for me. Not that I'm going to veer off into talking about sock knitting and sock yarns now, because I could do an entirely separate podcast, entire series on socks and sock yarns alone. So that's the reason I chose a Purple Linda Crafts on this occasion. It was the right combination of yarns at a price I was happy with. The postage was reasonable. She's based in Inverness. I couldn't have known this at the time, but subsequently I got really excellent customer service, so I would happily recommend Purple Linda Crafts Co. UK. So I've got my yarns on order for the next bit of the podcast, baby sleep pod, too many pods, getting my pods in a twist. I'm waiting to complete the one that I've got on the needles. My mum has overlocked the seam on the one that I've already made. The hat is sitting minding its own business. The next thing, after everything I have said, I'm going to block this baby raglan jumper. I know I was so dismissive of blocking last week, but when I look at the jumper now, because I had to knit it in sort of several components, and because I always use magic loop when I knit on circulars, well, I say that often, not every time, not clearly with the sleep pods, because I'm going on about how the cable is maybe a little on the small side, the big side rather, but not so big that I can do magic loop, frustratingly. I suppose that's the alternative, but then I'm going to end up potentially with laddering, which is what I want to avoid. Because this jumper narrows quite steeply towards the neck, I've got, laddering is a bit strong, but I've got a little bit of uneven tension here and there. And when I look at the jumper, it just leaps out at me, and I don't want to give it to as a present looking like that. So I am going to block it, and I'm also going to do something like, although I've blocked before, I've never actually wetted knitting and blocked it. What I've tended to do before, if I've felt it's needed a little bit of help, I've pinned it out, and I've just I've steamed it with the iron, not actually touching the item, but close enough. I've got one of these real Cape Canaveral style steam irons, you know, you can't miss it. My fringe actually goes curly when I do my ironing because there's so much steam coming up, so I just blast it from point blank range with the steam. But on this occasion, I think the jumper really needs to be properly blocked in a solution and then dried. Fortunately, yet another virtue of this magnificent King Cole cotton iron is that it's very happy to be washed. It's a sturdy yarn. So that's going to be my next sort of new experience, which I'll no doubt tell you about next time. Tomorrow morning, I'm at my knitting group. It's only once a fortnight. So I'm going to get, between tonight and tomorrow morning, I'm going to get all the finish, all the ends woven in. I'll do all the rest of the seaming. So by tomorrow afternoon, evening, it should be effectively completely done and just the blocking to go, which is fine because, you know, this baby isn't going to need to wear this item for several months and shouldn't appear yet for several weeks. I've got plenty of time to do that. As things stand, I don't think the pods need blocking, but you never know, I might become a complete blocking convert and start blocking everything in sight. I mentioned at the beginning that I used several videos as I was going along and doing these various things, and I will put links to them in the show notes, but as well as the Intarsia video by Stacey Perry that I mentioned, there is also Jenny Stamen's Cast On and Bind Off. I don't know if it's an American thing. I just left to my own devices tend to say cast on, cast off, but when you're writing pattern instructions, it's obviously much clearer to write CO and BO. Unfortunately, I think in the UK BO means something else, but I understand why they do that, and it does make it clearer. So in anything that requires a stretchy cuff, whether it's an arm cuff, whether it's the base of a jumper, whether it's a neckline, I use Jenny's stretchy slip knot cast on. Jenny Stamen is the woman who's dreamt up these really incredibly useful tools, and she has also created Jenny's surprisingly stretchy bind off. These two are just my standard cast on and bind off. I really must get into the habit of calling it that, for anything where stretch matters. So I do urge you to, if you haven't come across those, and if you're looking for a go-to stretchy cast on or bind off, I really urge you to go and look at those and see what you think. The other thing that I needed to do was pick up a dropped stitch on the purl side. I know what I'm doing, picking up dropped stitches on the knit side, but it's a while since I've had to do it on the purl side. And again, I have looked at videos before for that. So I went hunting for the one I found before, and it's really useful. I really recommend it. There's a channel on YouTube called New Stitch A Day Knitting and Crochet Video Tutorials. And this one is simply called How to Knit Picking Up Dropped Stitches Purl Wise. So that was useful to me. I mentioned quite a while ago about the things that we bring on ourselves as knitters, And one of those things is when somebody expresses a desire for a certain thing and we go, oh, I'll knit one of those for you. And you think, oh, that'll be nothing. And when I was in Devon with my daughter in February, we were in a little shop that we like in Honiton, and they had ponchos in there. Bearing in mind, this was February, it was still quite chilly. And she said, oh, they're really nice, I really like those. And I thought, wow, it's a poncho, how hard can it be? I said, I'll make you one. I'd had no idea she'd been harbouring this desire for a poncho. So being me, we were literally on our way home, actually. We'd stopped in, because we don't live anywhere near Devon. We had just stopped into the shop on our way home. We carried on, got home, unpacked, all the rest of it. I cast on that night for a poncho. And I'll include a link to that in the show notes. And it was fine. It wasn't difficult to make. I mean, really, you know, it's a bit of shaping. It really wasn't difficult. Being her, because she is so skinny, it slips around a little bit on her shoulders. You know, perhaps I needed to make the neck a little smaller, just given her particular dimensions. But the thing that sort of makes me laugh is she's never worn it out of the house. I don't know, can't remember off the top of my head how long it took me to knit, but I tend to assume that anything of those dimensions is around a month, on the basis that I'm knitting for a couple of hours in the evening and maybe a little bit extra at weekends, and it's not every evening because, you know, other stuff comes up. And I tend to find it scrunched into a ball at the foot of her bed because she sometimes puts it on at night if she's cold in bed. And, you know, I don't begrudge making it for her at all. And I had miles. I used, you know, surprise, surprise, three guesses. I used this Aldi cream Aran, but it does rather amuse me that, you know, you put yourself to the trouble and then, you know, it's kind of hardly sees the light of day. But there we go. Well, thank you for sticking with this for 5 episodes. I've been amazed at the listening figures. I mean, they wouldn't trouble, you know, the likes of History Hit. But for me, I've been really, really amazed and at the positive reaction to it. So thank you very much. Forgive me if today isn't a vintage episode. I've got a lot of plates to keep spinning today, but I didn't want to leave it much longer. And I look forward to speaking to you again. Bye.